You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to part two of our Big Decision Special. And I say our, I mean myself, Trev Denny, and my mucker, Dave Davis. And we're going to get back into the weeds, Dave, and pick out some topics that we think are going to result in some big decisions the club have to make over the next while. Our first topic is one that we've touched on the last day. It's basically, though, in a more general way, we were talking very specifically last day about contracts and players and the impact that Michael Edwards' return might have there. Here, we're just going to talk about it as an existential fact, as something that we have to get our heads around, a reality which has been embraced by many people who are near and dear to us on the channel here with enthusiasm levels beyond our sun. And what I tend to do here, Dave, is I say, you know what, these guys know a hell of a lot more about certain things than I do, and I'm quite happy to admit that. And so if they are enthused, then by extension, I am enthused as well. I'm kind of setting you up here with just a vague idea of how I'm feeling about it before we let you off, because it's your opinion on what I get here. When I heard this, I thought, well, this seems like a very good thing. And I think my tweet was something along the lines of Michael Edwards and one of Amorim or Alonso is probably as good as we can hope things to be post-Kloppo. And I stand by that, but I'm lacking the profound excitement levels when it comes to Edwards. I understand that he was there when things were good. I understand that he was very much responsible for an awful lot of the things that were good that led to the success on the field. And I think that's tremendous. I love the fact that he's such a sought-after talent and Liverpool have got him. I love that. I love the fact that he's turned his back on his own project to come to Liverpool when he could have gone, it appears, to almost any club in the world. This is all tremendous stuff, and it strikes me as very, very positive indeed. But it's just this overall messianic thing that I'm not quite getting, especially when I don't think he's going to be operating in the same way or with the same brief as he had before. And it's all change. And what we're not taking into account here is that we all have to get our heads around the fact that we will have no more ball cap German charismatic club resurrector that he is, the modern Shankly. He will be gone. Now, that's not Michael Edwards' fault, but it may be kind of tempering some of the excitement I have. I'm anxious to hear what you think about him and why. What are your feelings? Are you on board with an awful lot of the guys I've heard in the other shows here who are giddy?
Oh, this is one, Trev, where it's like, do you like think about being on their chips type of thing? So literally in this regard, how would I describe it? I get the excitement and I get the narrative. I get it's like the prodigal son returning. Look at the recruitment he's done. And the narrative's beautiful, isn't it? With the he's turned down United, he's turned down Chelsea. Look at what he's done. The expert in the industry leader, all those types of things. I do feel like I'm going to piss on the chips a bit here now, Trev. I've got to be honest, but it doesn't excite me at all. And the root cause of that, and this isn't to be derogatory of Michael Edwards at all, I would serve Michael Edwards up as a human sacrifice to any god to get Jurgen Klopp to sign an extension, like just to be clear on that. So it's, you put it well, it's as good as it can get if it's him and like an Alonso or Amorim. I think that's a fair summary. Here's the other big things that really resonate for me, Trev. I struggle where people get excited about the suit element, you know, when we bring people into the boardroom at Liverpool. And also, as you mentioned, it's not the boardroom at Liverpool. Let's be clear on that. It's FSG. He's almost replacing Mike Gordon, isn't he? Which means part of the focus, and he's been really clear in his statements, you can't say he's hoodwinking anyone. It's about the multi-club model, isn't it? And that attractiveness to it and set it up. So all of a sudden, Michael Edwards' laser beam ISAT is shifted. It's split, isn't it, all of a sudden? It's not fully focused on Liverpool. I know people say, oh, it's the same thing, but it's not. He's not doing the same job. Also, for all his talents and all his talents that he has, I have zero doubt about this. It's Jurgen Klopp that still can make the player, isn't it? Let's be clear on that. His coaching, his development and all that. And if you disagree with that, look at some of the talents that have gone to other clubs that Jurgen Klopp wanted, as we know, and look how they just wither on the vine in that situation. It Klopp owes the big impact. So I struggle to get excited. I kind of like the Machiavellian style element of him. I love the way he's just got into Bournemouth and gone like, we'll take that. We'll take that. I'll take your chief scout. I'll take your head of it. So I like that. And he's obviously, I think someone put the phrase well, he's a shrewd operator in the world of football. And I know the Up boys will be screaming at this. I'm sure Brundish will have something to say. Dr. Phil Bart's probably just lobbed his angina spray at the screen when hearing this. He will not be happy at all to denigrate their messiah. But in true style, I'm just struggling to get excited about it. And I know that is not the popular opinion at the moment, but it's a shrewd appointment. But I'm not excited, Trev.
Listen, this is exactly where I am. And it's not before the lads start unfollowing us on all social media. It's not that I don't have an awareness of what it is that Edwards offered. It's just that that doesn't necessarily butter my spuds, if you like.
Indeed.
I can't, like you, I can't find the thrill aspect. Do you know what it reminds me of? I'll be honest. You know, I love listening to, as a kind of a very rare occasion, I listen to Mo doing one of his money talks and listen to him break down stuff that I generally wouldn't listen to or follow or have any great interest in. And so it's nice as a kind of a, every so often I'll dip in there and listen to what Mo has to say and it'll make sense, obviously, and I'll be interested in it. And when I listen to UP or I listen to any stats-based pod, I'm the same. I'm kind of like a tourist and I'm going, this is really interesting. But I don't live in it. And I think if I lived in it, I'd probably be an awful lot more excited than I am. And the reality is that, like you, I find it hard to raise my heart rate about the return of Michael Edwards because I think what I am at the end of the day is very much just about a basic football fan who wants the characters on the field and the character on the touchline.
Yeah.
But the reason I brought up Mo in the first place was what it reminds me of is the kind of guys who get very excited when the books are published and we are making a profit as a club and we have not spent any excess money and we are being nominated as one of the best run football institutions.
Yeah.
And I will see lads on Twitter and they are so excited. It's made their fucking day, Dave. They're just, they're crowing with pride. They're puffing up their chests in the back of that. And I will just be honest with you. I'm old school. I'm Shankly. I'm like the board, the directors are there to sign the checks.
Yeah.
I only care where the money comes from. I don't care about the money management. I'm not being an idiot. I understand it's important. No. I just don't care. And similarly, I can acknowledge that this stuff is important behind the scenes, but I think you raise a really important point, man. It's going to be our last topic today, so we won't delve into it too much.
Mm.
But people need to be aware of what role he's coming back in and just how much he's going to be involved in the day-to-day. And once the second club gets bought, you're going to have a serious division of labor and you're going to have Big Mick's eyes and his laptop are going to be focused elsewhere, I would think. So that's, again, another reason why I have a caution about it. It's all about this next, the next appointment. It's all about the managerial appointment for me, Dave.
Yeah, exactly that. I just think that that's where it can fall down. And like you said, totally respect those guys, respect their input. They're far, far more knowledgeable than me. I'm your wish.com version of analysis. I appreciate that. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, do you know what as well? And they'll hate this, so I like saying it. I'll enjoy it for a second that I'm saying it. A laptop can't score a header in the 90th minute. A laptop can't bury that winner at the Anfield Road end when we need it. And I know they'll all be screaming at this and they'll be calling me all sorts of things. And it's crass, I get that, but the excitement for football comes on the pitch. We love our transfers as well, so we can't be hypocritical about that. And I know he feeds into that and he plays a part, I get it. But it is ultimately for us about boards and suits, signing checks. That's what it's about. And I get it's great to have a world-class infrastructure. I saw that phrase as well, and I like that. That's just what I expect. But it's the pitch, innit, where you get excited for me.
Yeah, you can appreciate these things. You can be proud of them in a sort of abstract fashion. But the thing that will get my engine running is transfers, because that means players. That's what I'm talking about, players now. And I can start picturing how that's going to work and how fellas might contribute and the manager and all that kind of thing. And it's just, spreadsheets won't keep me warm at night. It's just that simple. And you've brought it up, so we might as well get straight there as our second topic today in terms of some of the big decisions that need to be made. And we may be jumping the gun a little bit here in terms of, well, there's not going to be a window open for a while and there's a serious business end of the season with the current crop of players that we need to talk about. But like me, you'll be highly aware that for some reason, there are endless Luis Diaz articles going around with his El Fella being quoted, seemingly, whether in context or not, talking about how they have a dream for him to go to one of the two big Spanish clubs. Mm-hmm. When manager X is mentioned, then you have two or three targets who are also mentioned. When manager Y is mentioned, as in potential future, you've got a few more targets. This is all very exciting for me. Mm. And I've listened to enough stuff over recent weeks to be very enthused that people seem to share the same opinion that I do, that Kloppo may be walking away, but he's walking away from a very healthy scenario. And that does include all this backroom staff and the spreadsheets and the club balance and the financial situation. This is all part of it. But really, again, just for us now, nuts and bolts, in terms of the squad of players, it's a very healthy looking group. There are going to be have to be big decisions to be made. And it feels a little bit like we're jumping the gun to talk about individuals, although I heartily recommend and encourage you to talk about individuals. But if you look at the squad and assess the squad as it is now, and taking into account that perhaps one or two people will go, and taking into account what we spoke about yesterday about how one or two contracts may not get extended, where do you think, and where do you think the big decisions are coming in terms of the club and recruitment as things currently stand?
I actually get or have the suspicion, Trev, and transfers, this is what butters my crumpet, as they say, isn't it? This is what we like. So I think it's going to be busier than people suspect. That is honestly what I believe, because of the nature of the change that's going on, at the club because of probably a style shift, you'd suspect, with a new head coach and him wanting to implement his, or make his stamp on the club. So I actually think you'll see a fair bit of change. And I think it is good, like you said, to talk about players because it gives a bit more context. He's been sensational recently, your countryman, and I don't say that lightly. He's been unbelievably good at times, especially, I think, like that Forest game where Kelleher was key in getting us the points as well. I know people look at Nunez as winner, but how many did he save the Carabao Cup? I suspect Kelleher wants to go. As he's had that taste now, Trev, hasn't he, of being first choice in a big team. Now, for all we say, and all, I really like him, and he's done so well, and he should get all the plaudits. We know the story when Big Ali's back. We know the way it works. We know, and I say this in a horrible way, a keeper the standard of Kelleher should not be a number two. He's easily good enough to be a number one at the majority of clubs. And I suspect he'll now have had that taste and that ambition. I suspect his agent's now saying to him, if he, you know, if he's not, come on, we should be a number one here. Think of, you know, your deal, your future and all that. So I suspect, it sounds a negative start, but it's my honest gut, he's going to want to go and he will be looking to leave, which means you need a replacement, don't you?
Hello there. Have you ever found yourself getting ready to watch the Liverpool match? You've got your mates round, you've got your drinks, you've got your snacks, you're all set to go. It's going to be a good day. And then you find out, oh, the game's not actually being broadcast in your region. There's the heartbreak, there's rage, there's despair, there's fury, you're upset, you're looking for a solution. Well, we've teamed up with NordVPN to bring you a game-changing solution. That's right. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a country where the game's on live. It's like having a global ticket to sports, TV shows, and movies from all around the world. And here's the best part. If you go to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index, you'll score the best discount on your NordVPN plan. Plus, our link gives you 4 extra months free on the 2-year plan. And that's what we call a winning streak. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, what if it's not for me? What if I don't like it? What if I'm not getting the use of it? Don't worry about it. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee, so it's totally risk-free. I've been using NordVPN to catch all the Liverpool matches and TV shows that I'd normally miss out on. It's totally transformed both my weekends and my TV watching. And not only that, not only does it give me access to stuff from all around the world with the click of a button, it keeps all my data safe. It means that the miscreants, the ne'er-do-wells, what my grandmother would have called scallywags, who lurk on the internet to try and steal your information, can't get your information. NordVPN keeps it safe for you. So don't let geo-restrictions bench you this season. Visit nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and make sure that you're in the game, no matter when or where it's being played. Remember, it's not just sports. It's your all-access pass to binge-worthy TV shows and blockbuster movies from all around the globe. NordVPN literally unlocks the world for you and keeps you safe from the world. So don't miss out. Head over to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and let the fun and games begin.
Let me jump in there then before we go any further, because something struck me as you were speaking, and you're right, Ali comes back, Ali plays. It's as simple as that. He's the best in the world. You'd have to be an imbecile not to understand that. We have an issue, though, don't we? Because increasingly it would appear that as season by season goes past, Ali may miss more and more matches. He seems to miss a chunk of games every season. So now all of a sudden, your assertion there that, you know, Keller's too good to be a number two, it comes into a different kind of relief with Liverpool, because we obviously need someone who's too good to be a number two, because our number one may miss chunks of the season, and we'll need a guy who can maintain challenges in leagues and Champions Leagues and all the rest of it. Now, are we lucky enough that we have in, say, Pitaluga, someone who can make that step up? Do we rate that kid highly enough? Or are we looking then to go and sign a kind of a journeyman, you know, a veteran who won't let you down type of thing, and have him there. What Adrian was supposed to be and perhaps wasn't, you know, the likes of a Scott Carson for City, that type of thing. So let me just pop that back your direction, because that does complicate the whole issue for us, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. If Keller does want to go, as I suspect he will, and I also look back to the summer, Trev, where Klopper was quite honest in his press conferences and said, we did have inquiries, you know, for loans. Kelleher had spoken to him, you know, when you think even now. So I think that's on the table. It's tough because, like you said, he's been so good. And even to attract someone in as his replacement, they know it's going to be like you say, well, you second fiddle to Ali straight away. You like, just to be crystal clear on that, I know people can talk about fighting for a spot. This is not a Raya Ramsdale situation. You're number two, end of story. Then you're like, if we get a journeyman, that's a level down from Kelleher. If we get a young prospect, that's still a level down from Kelleher, isn't it? Realistically. Also, Kelleher fills one of the homegrown quota at the same time, doesn't he? So I am really struggling to see where we're going to get a replacement. You never know, a name might pop up in the summer, but I'm genuinely struggling to see where we're going to get a replacement that is going to maintain the level. Never mind increase it, just maintain it, Trev.
And that's why all of a sudden we're off to a start here in our speculation about new players, but we're already hitting a roadblock there. That's an immediate headache for the new manager, whoever he happens to be, who may come in and decide, well, Alisson, he may have some weird notion about Alisson, or he may come in and decide that Kelleher's not for him.
Right.
He may come in and decide that, well, actually, Pitaluga is a man who deserves more opportunity. So, look, it's all going to be dependent on who the new boy is and the advice coming from Mick Edwards and the guys. But where else in the team do you feel that there needs to be some strengthening going on? Or do you feel that there will be more exits on the way out?
They kind of link together for me. I'll start defence. I think we need a couple of additions, and there will be a couple of additions in defence. I think Joel Matip's contract set to expire. They'll do the decent thing, give him a nice send-off, but that's done. Jarrell Quant has been brilliant and stepped up, but we're still short a centre-half, aren't we, there, realistically, at least. So I expect another centre-half. I've got a real inkling, as quite a few patch journos have suggested, Trev, as well, for Adebayoro. I think it's pronounced, the Fulham centre-half, the boy English, giant of a centre-half, isn't he? 6'6", on a free as well, as it stands, hasn't agreed a new deal with Fulham, homegrown as well. So that puts a couple of positives in the box. Also, if he came to Liverpool, he's not going to be expecting to start, isn't he? He's probably going to be thinking, I'll get 20, 25 games a season. He's been at City before as well, so he understands that. So I think that's good. My biggest, maybe you could say most controversial one, and which is strange to say, but I think this is true for me. I think a left back will come in and needs to come in. Andy Robertson has been a superb servant. And, you know, you couldn't say anything derogatory, but you look at his age now. He's just started to pick up a few injuries, hasn't he? Is he quite hitting the level he was? I'm not quite sure anymore. So I think at worst, you give him competition. Tsimikas, I suspect, I know people are going to say he signed a new deal. I mean, let's be honest, Trev. He can't get in the new team when Robertson's there. When Robertson wasn't playing, Joe Gomez got put to left back. So he's third choice left back if everyone's fit. Now, for whatever you say about Costas and the, you know, his style and the fact he looks kind of heroin chic to me at times, shall we say, that he is too good to be a third choice left back. You know, he can play at a good club. So I suspect he's one that's going to be shifting out. And I know people are now going to be saying, well, what about Robbo? I think Robbo will stay. But for me, defence, that's the biggest one. A centre-half. But primarily, I think whether we change system at all and it's more wing-backs, we need someone for that left-hand defensive side.
I'm exactly on the same page as you with that. And I think that's a lot less complex in terms of an issue. Yes, there is more recruitment needed in the centre-half bracket. Yeah. And I actually, you know, whereas I do like the idea that you suggested, I wouldn't be surprised if it was maybe a couple of youngsters came in because, you know, let's see the new regime flex their muscles a little bit and crunch the numbers and get us some up and comers. That would be fantastic. And let's be honest, we're on a good run with youngsters coming through the team. But left back is screaming for me that it needs addressing. I don't know if Robbo's going to be able to do a full season between now and the end of his career at Liverpool. I don't know if that's going to be a thing. And the poor guy's coming back from Scotland duty injured. I felt like he was starting to hit some sort of almost back to where he could be, at least for two-thirds of a match. And now he's crocked again. We're going to be relying probably on Costas for some games because Joe Gomez maybe needed to fill in elsewhere. It's going to be interesting to watch. But I agree with you entirely. Now, if you were to move forward to midfield, we all know what happened at the end of the summer, and we all know that Endo came in, and we all know the initial response to him was incredibly lukewarm from fans, and we've all seen that guy sort of become a cult hero on the back of excellent performances. Now, my question to you, therefore, is do we need now to get in another player off that profile, considering how much money we were willing to go and splurge on someone at the time, or are we looking quite healthy in midfield? And if we aren't, is it that type of profile, or is there another type of profile player that we need in there?
I want another one, definitely in midfield. I think with Thiago's going to go, there's no doubts about that. That's a huge salary off the books. Badge, he's got this whole question mark, hasn't he, about body development. So I'm loath to say, let's go into the next season relying on Badge as a serious option. And it's a strong area, Trev. It still is, isn't it? With Curtis, Alexis McAllister, Szoboszlai, Endo staying there, Gravenberch as a backup, Harvey can play. And I know there's numbers there. I would like another one. And it's someone, and again, like you said, it depends what our new incumbent wants to do, whether he wants to play that double pivot, whether he wants a destroyer. I'm a bit unsure. And I kind of looked at it and thought, okay, Alonso's looking the most likely at the moment, that type of thing. I would not be surprised to see, and I'm saying this carefully, a variation of a six or a defensive midfielder. Now, people just jump on this and go, it's got to be a destroyer. It doesn't have to be. We've seen that this season. We've had a variation on it. It wouldn't surprise me if it's someone like Zubimendi, the Spanish international who plays at Sociedad, a very, very good short passer. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, Trev? Sociedad, excellent passer, the short game, that type of, you know, you could see a lot there, couldn't you? Something like that. Destroyers, they're at a premium, aren't they? Quality number six who can break up play and bring it forward. They're at a premium, aren't they? Let's be honest. Kloppo's been honest and said, we couldn't really get who we wanted last summer, could we? That type of thing. So in a year's time or in the summer, Xavi may, or I'm saying Xavi, Alonso, Amorim, whoever. But for midfield, with Thiago going, with the way it's set up, and also, I like Endo. I've got a lot of time for a man that puts in a gum shield to go to war for Liverpool and do the ugly stuff. I've got a lot of time for that guy. But I would like to see another quality option there, where Endo became the backup for that area, so to speak. So, yeah. And also, for me, if you buy another one of that ilk, if Endo gets injured, you don't have to drop Alexis back there, do you? And look how good Alexis has been going further forward or pushed. Look how good he's been recently. So for me, one of quality in there, I think, is important.
Yeah, the only way I sort of slightly differ is I think Endo has it in him to actually be a bit of a linchpin for a couple of seasons. I think actually that might be where the great joy may occur for some people, that guy, gum shield and all, can go and do it again next season for a full season. But it would be daft if we didn't have someone who could spell in for him, or should he become injured in that really tackle heavy central part of the pitch, that we have someone who's good to go. And like you say, whereas I think it's possible he may retain that first team preferential position, and we don't necessarily need to go and hire someone who's going to necessarily be that for us with Endo as the backup. I think we need someone good there. So I'd be surprised if we didn't look there. What is very encouraging is that when it comes to the attacking formation, and this is almost unthinkable, it would have been unthinkable at the start of the season, Curtis Jones, even if he was fit now, would struggle to get in the team, because if we assume that Kloppo likes Endo there, and we should because he does, then it's, who are you dropping? Are you dropping Alexis? Are you dropping Dom? So Curtis all of a sudden is struggling. Now, this is great news for us because we also have other players. But like you say, Bacicic will or won't. We can't make any, I don't think we can depend on that. The guy is at an early stage of his career, and he's, when you're getting injuries at that stage, you can't make any long-term forecast. Thiago and his departure shouldn't necessarily be a massive impact, but he's going out of the squad. And that's what we've been doing, is we've been managing without him. So we shouldn't put ourselves in that position where we have to manage without a wonderful footballer. If our squad is going to be balanced, we'll need to replace him too. So I see at least one high-level recruit there. And I'm hoping it will be someone who can have that profile, that can play where Endo plays. Now, of course, one of the big discussions that we're going to hear a lot is the sharp end of the pitch, because I can't escape, and I thought we were done with these things, but I can't escape Mohamed Salah stories for love or money. They're just all over the place. They just won't go away. I saw a couple of maybe fanciful, maybe not, stories about Luis Diaz. I saw some stories in the same vein about Darwin Nunes and how he'd really just love to play for Real Madrid if they would be willing to take a chance on him. And if he keeps his stats up, well, then that's the obvious next step for him. And I'm like, oh, hang on. The days of us being a stepping stone club, those days are over. And if Darwin Nunes or Luis Diaz goes, we get someone better in. We have to. That's how we have to be thinking. So I'm a little bit concerned, really, about disrupting this wonderful attack of ours. And I've heard someone say as well, Dave, just to put one final wrench into the works here, that a colleague of ours speak about Diogo Jota, who has been wonderful, who is probably our best natural kind of finisher goal scorer, and who has been fantastic when he's played in terms of his hold-up play, his ability to drive attacks. I actually just love watching this kid play for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Some people talk about how he's not silky. I don't give a crap. He's direct. It's fantastic. And he has great technique. But people are saying, well, you know, because of his injury record, perhaps he should be up for consideration for shipping out for a good fee and so on and so forth. Right. That's enough framing for me and enough me dangling things for you to bite at. What do you reckon? What's going to happen here in the summer? What should happen, really?
I can't see a situation where at least one has to come in, Trev. At least one. Just because of the age of someone like Salah, if he stays. So that's the starting point. That's the absolute minimum. One comes in. I think the other things to say is, he's doing a lot of talking, Papa Diaz, isn't he, at the moment? He's done quite a few interviews, to be honest. He's not a quiet chap, and he is talking about Diaz leaving and the Spanish clubs. And he always frames at the end, but he's very committed to Liverpool. It's like, okay, so why do you keep talking about Spanish clubs then? What's the need to raise it? You know, smoke without fire and all that. I think the biggest thing for me is, if you speak to the Patch journos, the biggest sort of undercurrent that's bubbling is, there's a bit of discontent in the Diaz camp of, he's not got a new deal since he's arrived at Anfield. If you think when Jota first came, he scored a few goals, got a new deal, didn't he? A wage increase. Now, Diaz has had injuries and all that type of thing, I get, but he's still on that original lower end deal that he arrived on from Porto. Obviously, the Edwards element comes in. Can you see Edwards giving a big contract to someone 27 and over? It's not as straightforward anymore, isn't it? There's a Dutch forward who's maybe not hitting the heights, proving unpopular, which I know we're going to talk about as well. So for me, it sounds strange, but almost the most secure ones feel like Nunes and Jota, and that's even with Jota's injuries and the question marks that people have against that. So for me, I suspect at least one forward or attacking option, if you want to call it that, will be coming into Anfield this season. And I wouldn't stick the house on this, but I wouldn't be surprised if Luis Diaz is looking for a new club or is at a new club by the start of next season. I don't think it'd surprise too many people now, would it?
We are yet to see what the disruptors will do.
Yeah.
When they start throwing their money around. But of course, you know, the stories will begin again if it is true that they have money to spend. And like, honestly, if they don't have money to spend, then the project is dead on its ass, right? It's over. So you've got to ask yourself, don't you? What is going to happen there with Sal? Are we just going to have to endure more stories? Are we just going to have to listen to the constant daft speculation? Do you see anywhere, any sense in him moving anywhere at this point when he's pulling up trees and we could be on the cusp of something even bigger in this new era of Liverpool? I dread the thoughts of Mohamed Salah not playing for Liverpool. I love the bones of the guy. He's been, if it's possible, almost even underrated at how important he is. And we're seeing all these stats coming out and where he is in the overall history of things in terms of contributions. The guy's an immense talent that you want to see play for the club as long as possible. If the disruptors come back with their big bag of cash, do you think there's a reality to him being tempted to go, or is it just going to be the kind of daft stories that we heard immediately after the transfer window shut, ironically, last time round?
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.